Most of us have friends, family, neighbors who are of that particular faith. And so it is, it rests upon us to be able to talk with them, but especially to know what the Bible teaches about these things, because it's critical to us and it's critical to them. So we're going to open the Bible and let the Bible speak for itself, because that's our ultimate standard, that's our ultimate authority, and that's what really matters, is what does the Bible say? The first question we want to ponder, to look at, is, was Peter the rock? Was Peter the rock? In Matthew chapter 16, we have that expression. And this is why it's so important, because the Roman Catholic Church turns to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, to claim that Peter was the rock upon which the universal church was built. And as a result, he was the first pope. So this is a very, very important text that we need to examine. What does the Bible say about it? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, and this is these are the words of Jesus, "And also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." In this text, the Holy Spirit referred to Peter. And the Holy Spirit uses a particular Greek word that means a small stone, a little rock that you can pick up and throw or move around. That's the word the Holy Spirit chose to use. But when he says, "And on this rock I will build my church," he uses a very different word. Many through the ages have made the claim that those are the same words, but they're vastly different. This particular rock means a great ledge of rock, like when you go down to Branson and you see those great big ledges of rock on the side of the road. That's the word in Greek that would have been used. So we're not talking about a little stone like the word Peter comes from, but a great big ledge of rock. So the Holy Spirit chose two entirely different words to refer to Peter as opposed to the rock. Well, what did Peter just said? What was so important that Christ would say, "On this rock I will build my church"? If he's not referring to Peter, which he wasn't, what was he referring to? Well, what did Peter just said? What had he just said? Verse 16, "Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" That's the claim that Peter had just made. That's the statement, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What Jesus was referring to in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the rock that the church was going to be built upon, was the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's what was the foundation of the church. The church was not going to be built upon Peter. It was going to be built upon Christ, the fact that He was the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the Christ, the Messiah. He had just made that statement, Peter had. And that's what Jesus is referring to. Not that Peter was going to be the rock, but what Peter said was going to be the rock. There's a number of verses in the Old and New Testament that refer to Jesus, the Messiah, as the rock. And that's what he's called, Jesus the rock. There's one verse in the Old Testament that's quoted twice in the New Testament. That's Isaiah 28:16. And let's read one of those places in the New Testament where that verse is quoted. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and we'll notice where that verse is quoted. 4, but 1 Peter chapter 2. "Just coming to him," and he had just mentioned that the Lord is gracious in verse 3, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So there he says, Jesus is this stone. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Says Jesus is the stone. Jesus is the rock. And he was prophesied to be the rock all the way back in the book of Isaiah. Jesus is that foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the rock upon which the church was going to be built. It wasn't going to be built upon Peter, but upon Christ. So all those verses say the same thing. But that's not the only place. Twice in the book of 1 Corinthians, Jesus is called the rock. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is the only one we'll take time to read, Jesus is called the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What's the foundation? Who's the foundation? Jesus Christ. Not Peter. Peter wasn't the foundation. Christ. Christ is the rock, the cornerstone, the foundation upon which the church is to be built or was built. So by just looking at these verses alone, it's crystal clear that Peter was not the rock upon which the church was to be built, but rather what he stated. When he looked to Jesus and says, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the foundation. Christ, the Son of the living God. And so any church not built upon Christ as the foundation is not the church that Jesus built. That is very, very clear. The next question that's of great importance is, was Peter the chief apostle? Because he's claimed to be. The Roman Catholic Church claims that Peter was the chief apostle. They also claim that since Peter is always named first in the list of the apostles, this signifies he was the chief apostle. But was Peter always listed first? No. Many times in the Bible, he's not listed first. Staying, if you're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, going down to verse 21, we see where Peter, this is one place where Peter is not listed first. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's another name for Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. There we have Paul and Apollos actually put before Peter. Peter wasn't before those two. He's not the first. He wasn't listed before Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. Paul writes, Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas, or Peter? There Peter's listed dead last. So making an argument that Peter is the chief apostle because he's always listed first is just wrong. He's not always listed first. Peter was not a chief apostle in any way or form. He was not the superior apostle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul makes this statement about himself and the other apostles. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5. It says, For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostle. Paul says, I'm not inferior to any of them, including Peter. Peter was not a chief apostle. He was not the lead apostle. He was not the greatest, the most eminent apostle. Paul says, I'm not behind any of them. I'm not inferior to any of them. We also know that Peter refused for anyone to bow down to him. Now, if he was the chief apostle, you would think that would be okay for people to bow down to him. In Acts chapter 10, we have verse 26. Acts chapter 10, verse 26. Well, let's go back to verse 25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Peter knew that he wasn't special. Peter knew that he wasn't the chief apostle. Peter knew that he was not the foundation of the church. So he says, get up. I'm not anybody to be worshipped. You're supposed to worship God, not me. I am just a man. I'm not the chief man. I'm not the chief apostle. I'm not the chief anything. Peter was even rebuked by Paul. Remember in Galatians chapter 2 where Paul talks about his meeting with Peter and the fact that he had to rebuke him in Galatians chapter 2. Verse 11. It says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. So that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles as not of the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And he goes on and rebukes him more. Peter was not the chief anything. He was not the foundation of the church. He didn't have a special office. He was not the chief apostle. None of that. So look at the first two things we have shown from Scripture that are absolutely true. That Jesus was the rock upon which the church was going to be built. Peter didn't have anything to do with it. Jesus was the foundation. The second thing we've seen from Scripture that the Bible shows without a doubt is that there was not a chief apostle. Peter was not a chief apostle. Again, he was not the chief anything at all. Question number three, was Peter the only one given the keys to the kingdom? Some teach that it was only Peter that was given the keys to the kingdom, no one else was. Well, we read, going back to Matthew 16 one more time, let's read verse 18 again. I'm sorry, verse 19 this time. Matthew 16, 19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the claim is made it was just Peter that was given the keys of the kingdom, so that makes him special. Is that the case? Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Let's first of all read verse 1 to give us the context, the background to this. It says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, the context of this chapter are those disciples, and in particular he's talking to the apostles. So we go down to verse 18. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now wait a minute, that's exactly the same thing he said back in Matthew 16. So who is he giving the powers to bind and loose to? The apostles, not just Peter. It wasn't just Peter that was going to open up the kingdom. It was all of the apostles. And we see that when we read Acts chapter 2. in Acts chapter 2. We have that opening of the kingdom. Notice what Acts chapter 2 verse 14 says. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Skip down to verse 37. At the end of the sermon. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Was Peter the only one preaching that day? No, all 12 of them were preaching. Why did 12 of them have to preach? What did the Holy Spirit come down and do? Gave them the ability to speak other languages. Peter spoke one language and John spoke another language and this one spoke another language. None of them were English. They got up to speak. They had to. Because there were people from all kinds of nations. They didn't know all the same language. So Peter and the other 11 had to be given special powers to speak languages they had never studied or learned. So all 12 of them stood up, and Peter wasn't the greatest one, and all 12 of them gave that sermon. And that's why in verse 37 it says, Then when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles. Because one group said it to Peter, and one said it to John, and one said it to this one. They were speaking different languages. That's what happens in the first part of Acts chapter 2. They were given that ability. So Peter wasn't the only one given the keys of the kingdom. All 12 opened up the heaven on the day of Pentecost. Not just Peter, all of them. So the last question then is, was Peter the first pope? Was Peter the first pope? Well, Catholic doctrine teaches that Peter was the bishop of Rome, and therefore the pope, if you read their history. Being the pope, he was also head of the entire church. And a successor would be required at the death of each pope. And of course, I know in my lifetime, I've seen several successors chosen. He's called the vicar of God on earth, or the vicar of Christ on earth. And he has special power. Was there a bishop of Rome according to the New Testament? No. There were bishops of Rome. The Bible's very explicit. There was never, ever to be a single individual over a church. That was never authorized by the Bible. Two or more, yes, never one. That was one of the ways in which the church started to digress, started to fall away from the truth. A single person ended up being in charge of a congregation. And then that same person ended up being in charge of several congregations. And then we started to see, as the centuries went by, that whole organization where individuals would be over whole areas of churches. But in God's eyes, that was sinful. Still is sinful. No single individual was ever given the authority to be over a single congregation. And we know why. It never works, does it? If that individual was perfect, I guess it would be great, but we know those people don't exist. And so that whole organization is sinful in God's eyes because it doesn't follow the pattern. Now, the Bible does say that digression from the church would start to happen, wouldn't it? That plan, people would start to fall away from it and not follow it anymore. Paul even told the elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, that after his departure, grievous wolves would come in among you, not sparing the flock, and even from among your own, the elders, the bishops, even from among the bishops there in the church at Ephesus, people would arise and lead people from the truth. So it started early on. And then as century went on, they got further and further and further away from the truth. We've seen what Scripture says. Not tradition or not men's ideas or men's opinions, but what Scripture teaches. Peter was not the foundation of the church. He was not the chief apostle. He wasn't the rock. He wasn't the first pope. He was none of those things. God doesn't approve of the pope. Never approved of a single one of them. That's sinful in his eyes. Never any authority given for that at all. We have to go back to what the Bible teaches. And the Bible is very clear about this. Jesus was the foundation of the church. He is the foundation of the church. The only church that has ever met his approval is the one that he established, where he is the foundation. And it rests upon his authority and his teaching and nothing else. Not the opinions of men, not the traditions of men, not the traditions of the church. But upon his teachings we have in the gospel. That's what the Bible teaches. And if we have friends or neighbors or family that's in that religious faith, then we owe it to them to do our best to show what the Bible teaches. It's on our shoulders. This morning we haven't talked about how one becomes a Christian. But we again know what the Bible teaches. Not tradition, not men's opinions. But we know it all has to do with faith. And that faith comes from God's Word. Faith in the promises of God. Faith in God's Word. Faith that Jesus is the Son of God. And that faith leads us to a change. A change of mind, which ends up being a change in our actions. We call that word repentance. And that repentance leads us to make a great confession that we believe, just like Peter, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And based upon that, we are immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And at that point, God washes away those sins, forgiven and forgotten. So this morning, if there's a need for you, or maybe it's just asking for the prayers of the congregation, we want you to come as we stand and sing.